You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Corey, what's poppin'?
What's the deal, my man? How's everything going, you guys? There's nothing much really to report today.
Honestly, we made it, man.
Yeah, you're right.
We made it.
Yeah, I don't know where, but we made it. We made it to Friday. Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah. Still got work to be done, apparently.
Still have work to be done, but we're here. We're here. Matt Modica, what's going on, sir?
Like you said, it's Friday, baby. So the weekend is here. Let's hope this one passes quickly. I'm ready for Super Bowl. You know, it's kind of a doldrum right now coming up.
The Pro Bowl doesn't do it for you?
No, the Pro Bowl doesn't, but last night did do it to me with the hot stove.
Oh, the hot stove finally heated up.
Ignited.
Ignited a fire. I actually read an awesome story. Or an awesome tweet. I shouldn't say it was an awesome story. I read an awesome tweet that said MLB decided to uncancel the program Hot Stove because it's back, baby.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting. I liked the moves. I mean, the one move was a no-brainer with Christian Yelich. The other move, I like it, but I don't like the years.
All right, let's chat about it then, shall we? Sure. Let's begin with the first bombshell. Let's kind of go in order. We had heard rumors, as we have really all offseason, that Christian Yelich wanted out. And we're trying to figure out the logical destinations. And really, it was earlier this week we first heard the Brewers mentioned. And as someone that drafted Christian Yelich in a league already, I looked at you. I was like, oh my God, he goes to the Brewers. I can't think of a better spot I want him in than in Milwaukee. A field that is perfectly suited for his capabilities. The lock him up long term. Absolutely loved it. I figured, listen, Lewis Brinson, probably the main piece. He'll start every day in center field. Bing, bang, boom. I'm happy. And then finally yesterday, almost immediately when I stepped foot out of this place late last night, Christian Yelich is officially a Milwaukee Brewer. Absolutely love it for Christian Yelich.
Yeah, no, you have to. His home road splits a much better player away from Marlins Park, which is understandable. And, you know, he's a top 75 player right now. I think he was like 72nd overall currently since January 1st. And the thing here is, if you move him up to say he's 20-20 or possibility of 25-25, then that's a totally different, you know, that's increasing his profile. And that's, you know, with his batting average of 290 to 300 in this park now, he's going to significantly move up. He's definitely a top 50 player. It's how hard do you push him up? Does he even become a top 25 player? I mean, if you're looking at a guy that's going to go 25-25 and hit close to 300, isn't that kind of like Mookie Betts?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically.
But that, taking it up to 16 after.
Evidently not. We're taking a break right here. And then we'll get more in to Christian Yelich. And we'll get more in to where he should go. Mookie Betts is a first-round pick. Is that what he can tell us? That Christian Yelich is going to be a first-round pick? We'll break that down. And then the other Brewers signing as well. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So the trade goes down, and you look at the home road splits from last year. for Christian Yelich. 265 at home with 7 homers, 11 homers, and a 299 average on the road. It's pretty good. We'll take it. He has the ability, according to Matt Modica, to almost be 25-25 potentially.
Okay, maybe that's a bit aggressive, but I don't know if it is. If you look at this team that have, over the last three seasons, I believe they're either tied or lead the majors in stolen bases, you know, they're going to have a green light here. He's going to bat either leadoff or second. Preferably, I think I like him better second, but even if he's batting leadoff, okay, say he doesn't have the RBIs, that's fine. He'll have the runs. So, you know, if he's going to be, let's say 20-20 or somewhere in that range of 20 to 25 for home runs,
sure,
and stolen bases. That is, his profile is pretty much going to be like Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts, from what I've been hearing, is going back to the leadoff spot in Boston.
It's a rumor.
And, what are you expecting from Betts? I'm expecting Betts to be, you know, a 290 to 300 plus hitter. And I'm expecting the same thing that he's consistently done, 25-25, and score 100 runs. So I think if Yelich is in this lineup, in this park, 100 runs should be doable.
Achievable.
As well.
Sure.
So I think you're going to see this guy move up the board significantly. And I think it's probably rightfully so. I'm not sure yet where I'm going to price him, how much I'm going to move up his value. Say in a 12-team, prior to the trade, he was like an $18, $15, $18, $20 player.
Right.
He's got to get a bump. I mean, he just has to.
So we're talking, let's talk in terms of rounds then, Matt. He gets a bump. He was going, let's see, in the FSTA draft, for instance, score, you had Christian Yelich go early in the second round. Does he move up to the third now? Is that what we're saying?
Wait, where did he go in the S?
Early in the fourth, he went.
Okay.
The FSTA.
You said second. I said, whoa.
You figure maybe about a round of a bump, so I could see him on and third. If you want to be aggressive with it, maybe that 2-3 turn is where you'll be able to find him. I mean, a good young bat in a nice offensive environment like that, so you definitely going to have to pay. And then the fact that there's excitement about it now, too. I think he'll see a spike in his ADP this weekend, and then it'll start to settle in.
That sounds about right. So at Miller Park, he only has 29 career at-bats in the last 3 years. Because that's what I tried to bring up. Over the last 3 years, 241 at Miller Park, 0 home runs. He was 7 of 29 with 11 strikeouts. It's an extremely small sample size. It means nothing. I just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, that is an extremely small sample size. But the question here now is, what are they going to do with this outfield? I know.
I want to get there in a second. Because I want to focus on this trade here, though, for a moment. Because I can assure you Christian Yelich is going to play every day, right? Like we know he's going to be in the lineup every day. He's under control for the next, you know, 5 years at a very, very small price. All is well for the Brewers there.
Okay. So then it's pretty much going to come down to guys going ahead of him right now.
Yes.
Domingo Santana.
Peace.
I think Domingo Santana is a good player. I'm not paying that price for him currently.
Certainly not now.
And Tommy Pham is going, say, half a round ahead of him.
No, thank you. I love Tommy Pham. I'm still thinking Christian Yelich.
Yeah, I don't really know where I stand on Tommy Pham. I have no shares yet. Then you're looking at A.J. Pollock. Is he fitting the A.J. Pollock profile now? I got to think so. A.J. Pollock, reason I like A.J. Pollock and I go after him, the one downside is he can't stay healthy. But when healthy, he is a guy that's going to hit for average and possibly be a 20-30 guy.
Theoretically, that's the situation he should be in. He's a healthier version of him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and he's also a younger version of him.
Right.
So then you're going to have questions is, do you want a Byron Buxton, who is a batting average liability, versus a Christian Yelich? You know, Yelich is a more proven hitter. There's no question about that. And he doesn't. Look, Byron Buxton has like Olympic speed. That's the kind of speed he has.
Certainly.
But he has contact issues. Mm-hmm. That's been the major glaring issue in his game. So, I mean, now do you move him up to Buxton, who's just going outside the top 50, like 51st overall? So, to me, he's going to be in the top 50. I mean, I can make the arguments to put him ahead of these guys just because he's, you know, of his age, his durability. That batting average is key. I mean, I can't stress it enough. There's not enough people hitting over 300, and it really helps you. If you can get a guy like now in the third round, I think he's definitely a third rounder.
Right.
I don't think there's an argument there.
Sure.
The question is, do you push him up? How far do you push him up? Andrew Benintendi has a ADP of, say, 40 right now. Andrew Benintendi batted like 275 last year, ended 2020. So what's his growth? 290? You know, 2020, you know, maybe 25-20. Christian Yelich can do that, I think. You know, the ground balls are an issue, but, you know, just a little bit of loft in his game in a better park, not as cavernous as Marlins Park, I'm going to take Yelich over Benintendi. So, I mean, now I'm looking. So, if Benintendi's going 40th, Yelich should go 40th, in my opinion.
Makes sense to me.
Right ahead of him.
Sure.
So, I mean, you're going to see him substantial, and people are just going to be excited about this Brewers team. Now you got him, say he's leading off and Kane is batting second.
Right.
Okay, you have a proven hitter behind him. I mean, look, he's had proven hitters. He's had Stanton and, you know, Ozuna. It's not like he was playing in places that didn't have good lineups. It's just he's in a better park that could help him, number one. He's much better away from Marlins Park in his career. I mean, it's just evident. It's not like the difference isn't from, say, playing at Coors. We're not going that extreme.
Of course.
But just looking at the board and looking at certain players that fit his profile, you know, from the 72nd pick that he is right now to, say, the 40th pick, which Andrew Benintendi is, I'm going to take Yelich over Benintendi.
And I'm okay with that, too. Going over in the deal from Milwaukee to Miami, was their top prospect, Lewis Brinson, who saw the majors last year, didn't exactly overperform by any means. Now, Lewis Brinson there is going to start every day in center field for Miami. A couple of other prospects went with him, guys that aren't really close, guys that aren't really fantasy relevant for our purposes. Brinson, happy to go back to Miami. He's a Miami kid, and now, there aren't questions. Is he going to split playing time with Keon Broxton? Is he going to have an opportunity to play every day? It's all him in Miami. It's a cavernous park, but he's going to get the playing time and probably be at the top of the lineup. Is Lewis Brinson's value now up or down?
Well, you got to think that Lewis Vincent value would take a increase, obviously, with a chance to be a full-time player. He gets in there with this young team that really is going to lean on him. So you got to look at the situation right there where he'll start to get more and more at-bats, and then we'll get to see what his true value is. So that's how I'd evaluate Brinson right now. I noticed after the trade, I believe in the FSTA draft, after the trade was announced, Lewis Brinson immediately went off the board.
Okay. So it's funny. We talked about slow draft etiquette earlier this week. When this trade happened, or it was reported on Twitter, I was on the clock.
Did you take Lewis Brinson? Oh, it was too early.
Lewis Brinson's gone. I'm too late.
Okay.
But I knew it was Lewis Brinson and more. And I wanted to see what this more was. Because maybe this more would have been some guy that goes right into the Marlins starting lineup, and now I'm interested in him when I wouldn't have been interested in him previously.
Exactly.
So I literally texted Frank, my partner, and I'm like, not to be a you-know-what, I want to wait. I'm going to wait until this thing plays out and then hear what's going on.
I don't blame you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. What do you think Lewis Brinson's value goes to now?
No, he's going to play. That's what I mean, it's not a better park, obviously, but yep. It's about playing time. Maybe in a couple of months in Milwaukee, he got the opportunity, unless he would have had a phenomenal camp. But you look at him, what he did last season in Triple A. He had a taste of it in 2016. He played last season the whole year there. So, I mean, I'm assuming Miami starts him to start the season. Maybe they wait a little while. I mean, he's going to be 24, so I don't really see. They have 6 years control.
Yep.
I don't see why they have to push him back, wait on a clock with him, because they do have this control on the player. But, yeah, look, you want a guy that has a bat, he's got speed, and he's going to play every day. So, yeah, he's going to become one of these guys that are going to see a substantial move up. He was more of the guy you would take in, say, in the early 20s. Now he's a guy that's moving up into the teens, depending upon how high you are on Brinson.
I think he moves up, like you said, into the teens. I think that just the fact that he's going to play every day changes everything, right? It changes absolutely everything. And it's amazing that he now has this opportunity that you didn't think you would have. And can he be the player that we saw in AAA last year where he completely mashed it for 3 months? Possibly. Now, for sure, there's this... I'm sorry. Matt just took his phone and was like cleaning his teeth in the mirror, and I just lost control of myself. Lewis Brinson, draft him. He's got speed. He's got power. We'll see what it translates to in Miami. But that wasn't the only Miami outfielder that signed yesterday. The other, Lorenzo Cain. And not Miami, Milwaukee. And this outfielder, his outfield in general, it just got a whole lot stronger. We'll take a break. When we come back, Lorenzo Cain.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Hello, YouTube. Welcome inside Studio 34 alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Christian Yelich was part one of the Brewers' moves yesterday. Part two, the homecoming of Lorenzo Cain. Their former top prospects traded away in the Zach Greinke deal? No, it was CeCe Sabathia deal.
Yeah, he's
no,
coming.
It was Zach Greinke deal.
Who says you can't go home?
Who says you can't go home? Traded away in the Zach Greinke deal many years ago, comes back after winning World Series with the Kansas City Royals. Cain signs with the Brew Crew for 5 years, $80 million, and is expected to be announced and introduced today. The outfield, which you know kind of looked pretty solid last year, Matt, and really just 2 days ago looked solid, is now star-studded. Christian Yelich, Lorenzo Cain, Ryan Braun, Domingo Santana, Keon Broxton, Hernan Perez, Brett Phillips. That's a lot of pieces for only three spots.
Yeah, no, that there is what they say, a log jam here. I think it's going to be tough to move Braun, though. I mean, unless they make the commitment to eat the majority of that contract.
And he has no trade clause now, I believe, too.
I don't know the whole aspects of it.
I believe he just gained that. That was why there was like a push earlier this offseason to get him. I have to look into it. There was a push that by a certain date, Braun has to be traded. Otherwise, he's got a full no trade clause.
I mean, look, in all honesty, I want Braun to stay on this team. I'm going to be look. The guy is say what you want. I never really forgave him for what he did to that. What he did to that guy with the drug test that time. I thought that was Bush League and all that. But Braun went on the field, can produce. I know last year he had a myriad of ailments and missed time. But this team has now positioned itself to make this run. They were ahead of the curve last year, and they pushed the chips in. So I would want a guy like Braun, keep him in that number three hole, have that hitter with these two guys on base ahead of him. Why not?
Well, why not? I think it's actually a somewhat kind of obvious question here, Matt, because why not? Ryan Braun, that was mid-30s, right? In his mid-30s, makes a lot of money. Corey, if they could trade him, wouldn't you rather keep a dude like Domingo Santana, who hit 30 bombs last year, much younger and much cheaper?
Yeah, you can get anytime you can get younger and cheaper, except for this business. Anytime you can get younger and cheaper, it normally is a good thing. So I think in professional ranks, the Milwaukee Brewers would try to do something like that. But obviously, this is a tough deal to move. Obviously, Ryan Braun comes with that big contract. He's a little bit advanced in age. We've seen injuries pop up from time to time, so you don't really know how much playing time you're actually going to get out the player. But back to Will Cain. Back to Lorenzo Cain right quick. Nice pick.
Definitely not Will Cain.
No, that guy. Oh, my goodness. 300, back of the baseball card guy when he was healthy and he gets to at-bats. 300, still you over 20 bases. And very little pop goes along with the player, but that 15 home runs also, so... nice additions for the Milwaukee Brewers, not the Houston Astros.
But see, the problem here I have with Cain is, and one of the reasons I didn't want the Mets are in a different situation. But here's the thing: Cain turns 32 in April, and you just committed 5 years to this guy. So I kind of look at this as maybe like the Ben Zobrist kind of thing, where the first couple of years you like the contract, and then you get in the last couple of years. I don't know how he's going to age because, you know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but the five-year thing, if you look at the overall AV, maybe it's not that bad. You know, the average value of it is, what, 16? Well, it was under 16 because he got five. So, you know, 15 and a half, let's say. So maybe, 16. You know, maybe he settled for less and took the years.
It's 16. It's exactly what it was.
But here's the thing. Of course you want to trade the older player in Braun, the guy that's making more money. But we see the current landscape of free agency and stuff and teams with the cap that don't want to pay that luxury tax. So who's really looking to take on Braun?
You're absolutely right by that. And I think that you look at what has happened to the market this winter, it's exactly that. The Lorenzo Cain deal of 5 for 80 is the biggest contract awarded in free agency this year. Normally, you'll see the over $100 million deals. Now, this is, like I said, the most expensive one. And because of all of these big market teams kind of sitting out, the Yankees, the Red Sox as of now until JT Martinez happens, the Dodgers, the Cubs at the moment, and because you have teams like the Marlins that don't want to spend any money, all of these middle-tier teams like Milwaukee are finding themselves in position to go out and get some of these really big free agent prizes. Now, does Lorenzo Cain, is he the most obvious fit in Milwaukee? No. And we've seen, I'll use the Yankees as a prime example, when you give a ton of money to a speedy outfielder, it doesn't work. Jacoby Ellsbury being a prime example.
It's a win-now move.
But this is a, exactly, Corey. This is a win-now move. This is a move by the Brewers that when you pair it up with Yelich, they feel that they have the ability in the market right now to go out and make a move and try to win. They have a glutton outfielders. They're going to trade one of these guys, most likely Domingo Santana, because they won't be able to unload Braun. They're going to trade him for a starting pitcher somewhere.
But that's the thing here. Obviously, everybody knows they want to trade.
Yep.
You know, they want to make a trade here. They want to trade their outfielders. But who's giving up pitching right now? It's very, you know, in this current climate, you know, teams aren't out there, you know, trading pitching. So I find this, I think it's more, by making these two moves yesterday, we're going to see either an Arrieta or a Darvish signed with the Brewers. Because I don't know what they're really, who's willing to trade valuable pitching.
So I think, and we heard it before, right after the Yelich signing, everyone said the Brewers were the most aggressive on Cain, and they're probably now out on Cain. Of course, an hour later, they officially signed Cain. We had also heard, really, I believe it was last Sunday night, that they were very far down the road on a Domingo Santana trade. I think that trade is, well, today, tomorrow, whenever.
It's coming down the pipe.
They have a plan here. They 100% have a plan.
I'm sure. Look, he's done a great job, the GM here.
Yep.
Hats off to him. He's got this team. Like I said, last year, they made a jumped ahead. You know, they sped up the process. And part of the reason you acquire all this young talent is to have the chip, should he?
Absolutely.
To go out and get players that are proven. And, you know, Yelich is under contract for 4 more years.
Sure.
So a very good deal. So
this team kind of is what it is going forward for many, right? Like, Yelich, 4 years. Now Lorenzo Cain, 5 years. You look at Orlando Arcia, he's around for quite a long time as well. Travis Shaw's under contract for the next few years. You just look around this team. It's young. It's going to grow together. You need to get some pitching, but the Brewers have a chance to be fun. Now, we talked about Lorenzo Cain and what he did in Kansas City. He's 32 years old now. It's a win-now move, said Corey. What is Lorenzo Cain's fantasy value here in 2018? Before this move in the FSTA draft, he was drafted toward the end of the 7th round. Now, no one knew where he'd end up. San Francisco was rumored for a while until the Andrew McCutchen trade. He had the possibility of always going back to Kansas City. But now that we know he's in Milwaukee, what does that do to his fantasy value?
Once again, we're going to look at a team that's going to run. And, you know, Cain is going to steal. I'm assuming he's going to put up 30 stolen base season, possibly more. I mean, maybe that's
the hope, I would say. Sure.
Yeah, 30 to 35 is, you know, what
even though he's never had that many steals before?
28 is his career high in 2014 and 2015.
Yeah, 28 is the career high, but this is a team that is, they like to run. That's, you have to look at the situation he's in. This team is going to give the green light. They just spent $80 million on him. I think they want to use one of his best assets, which is speed. So I think the stolen base opportunities will be there. So, well, let's say he steals 30. The possibility of him hitting 20, I think, is a very real possibility in Milwaukee. Look, he was playing in Kauffman Stadium, which is not a prodigious power place. And you got to get the best out of him now. You know, this year, next year, you know, that first half of the contract, I think will be fine. We'll see how it winds up playing out down the road in the second half. It's going to be interesting who leads off, who backs second. I guess they can flip-flop it, play it however they want. And I think you want a guy like Braun in the three-hole. And obviously, like I said, Domingo Santana is going to be the more appealing piece. People are going to want the younger, cheaper guy that has upside still. So if you keep Braun, and they have all these other outfielders that can fill in for Braun. But, you know, Braun's not going to play 162 games. We know that. But, you know, when Braun gets his day off, if you keep a Hernan Perez or a Brett Phillips steps in, you know, and Brett Phillips they're viewing as a fourth outfielder. Even a Keon Broxton, if you know he can start making some contact on a more regular basis. So I don't know how it's going to shake that. I know you're saying about that trade they had in the works. I'm just trying to figure out who's giving up pitching. Well, that's the big question for me.
And I think we'll find out soon. Corey, you said this about Yelich, and the same holds true for Lorenzo Cain. He's a back of the baseball card guy. When he's healthy and plays a full year, you know, in the past with KC, you're getting about 15, 16 home runs, about 28 steals realistically. I agree with Matt. Going to Milwaukee, there's going to be more power because the stadium is better. So you get up to 20 home runs, let's say. Not unrealistic. Yeah. You know, 4 or 5 more. It's really not unrealistic at all. Speed-wise, can you get another 5 on a team that likes to run? Probably. I don't think that's unrealistic either. So you're looking at
a 30-20 guy.
A 30 steal, 20 home run guy. Exactly. Where does that get him drafted?
30 steals, 20 home runs, comes along with a 300 average. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got to look at his age and his history of dealing with injuries. Played 155 games last year, played 103 the year before, but really that's kind of the most games he's ever played, and injuries have been something. So I think he may get a round bump to maybe a 5 or 6 guy on that 5-6 turn, somewhere like that. It's where you can see Lorenzo Cain going, depending on you know, your format.
I completely agree with you, Corey. Matt, where would you take Lorenzo Cain?
You know, he's definitely going to take that move up. I mean, for me, I look at what I'm drafting as the first 5 rounds of my foundation. But, you know, anywhere 5th, 6th round, I move him up more.
If the first 5 rounds of your foundation, are you willing to make Lorenzo Cain part of your foundation?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if I'm going to put Yelich up there, I'm going to have to keep moving up Cain. I'm going to have to redo the board.
Fair enough. Okay. Lots going on with the Brewers. But again, the biggest story here in baseball this offseason has been Shohei Ohtani. I'll talk more about Ohtani with Scotty coming up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
DFS a try, check out Fantasy Factor. It's the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. The free to enter. So sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. And with that, for the final time this week, it is my pleasure to bring in the host of Fantasy Sports Today, 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, as well as the host of the Fantasy News Desk at 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is the king, it's the Hall of Famer, it's Scott Engel. What's up, Scotty?
Good morning, my friend. Nice to see the hot stove having the dials turned on again.
Absolutely, and that's exactly where I want to start with you. We've been talking about it all morning, Scotty. The hot stove, the show, it's been back from cancellation. It's here again, hot stove, finally, as Christian Yelich moves over from Miami to Milwaukee, and Lorenzo Cain goes back to where it all began.
Yeah, Lorenzo Cain playing just 1 year for the Brewers in 2010 before he moved on to Kansas City from 2011 to 2017. I think you'll see pretty similar numbers with the Brewers. The thing is with him is you just want him to stay healthy. You know, we've seen that over the years with Cain. If you're playing an on-base percentage league, you absolutely love the guy.
All right, so you said Cain's numbers don't change. Is that what you were saying?
I don't think they change too much. You know, maybe 2-3 more homers, like Matt was saying. You know, they'll run a little more. You know, maybe forced more stolen bases or so. I think we know what his skill set is. I'm not looking for a drastic change. The same thing with Christian Yelich, but it's more interesting. We'll be going to a hitter's park. The thing with Yelich is, at his age, I don't know if we've seen the best of him. I remember talking to a lot of baseball people, including former Marlins front office guy Dan Jennings, who told me candidly, and he just wasn't trying to sugarcoat things, that this guy is a future batting champ. I've heard it from opponents, whatever. He had 280 last year. I wouldn't be surprised anytime soon if he hits 300.
Yeah, Scotty, I completely agree with you in both senses. When it comes to Lorenzo Cain, we've been talking about it throughout the morning, that, yes, maybe he'll run a little bit more in Milwaukee, right? You know, you get a couple more steals. We're in agreement, right? Home runs. Maybe hit a couple more in Milwaukee. It's better park than Kauffman Stadium in Miller Park there. Maybe you get 4-5. But now you're talking about a dude in Lorenzo Cain that hits about 300, that gets you 20 home runs, that gets you about 30 stolen bases. To me, that's a top 5-round player.
I think, Cain was always in my top 5-6 rounds. Okay. But you worry about the health.
Yeah.
You worry about the health. Look, you look at the numbers last year, and I believe there were about 18 home runs and 26 steals. So you're pretty close there. You know, it's not much of a jump. It's just, I don't know. When he was drafted in the FSTA, it was before he was traded. He went round 7, pick 11. I don't think there was any more perceived upside. Now, maybe there's a little bit more upside, but I think I know what we get. If I was to look for a little bit of upside more from either guy, and we're splitting hairs here,
sure,
it'd probably be Yelich because of his age and his skill set, and maybe we just haven't seen the best of him yet. He did hit 20 home runs 2 years ago. The power finally started to come. I don't know if he'll ever be more than a 24-homer guy, but, you know, I'll take 24 over 18.
Yeah, and Christian Yelich, much like Lorenzo Cain, going to a better ballpark. He's going to play every day, certainly under control, certainly still young, he's just 26 years old. He's going to get more. You would think he gets over the 20-home run mark. You think he could run a little bit more. And he's a guy that, you know, should have a good average, should hit 20-20 and have 100 runs scored. Both of these guys' value, not dissimilar, both top 5-round guys, both guys that I'm absolutely much more interested in now than I was 2 days ago.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Lewis Brinson, too. This guy is known as a great defensive center fielder, but obviously the 2020 potential is there. Didn't look too good in his cup of coffee last year, but, you know, everybody rips the Marlins for what they're doing here. You know, I'm actually taking, like, an opposite view sort of here on what Miami is doing.
Optimistic of you.
Because, no, I'm just being realistic here. It's, you know, this is my opinion that, you know, they never made the playoffs with any of these guys. Jeter and company totally want to remake, you know, this team in their own image and build it from the ground up, because if you don't win, people don't show up in Miami. And you had a lot of name players there that didn't win. So tear it down, start up. You know, obviously they've done their homework on the landscape. Marlin fans are not going to go show up unless this team makes the playoffs. And if you can't make the playoffs with Stanton, Yelich, Real Muto, etc., then maybe you have to tear it down.
So I understand what you're saying, but the way that Jeter has presented it with the Miami Marlins is about making money, and they felt that the business model with these guys didn't make them money, so they're burning it to the ground and building it back up in a way that ultimately they think maybe not even a successful product on the field, but a successful product in their pockets. And that's kind of the way they've sold it. And I think that's what's turned off many Marlins fans, because the returns for most of these guys, outside Yelich, where I think you got Brinson, you got a couple of more prospects, so I'm okay with that. But you look at what they got in the Yankee deal, and you look what they got in the Osuna deal, and it doesn't really seem like enough to me. I think that's what's bothering most Marlins fans, more so than even trading these guys away.
Well, I think we're almost saying the same thing here. They want to make money.
Yeah.
They're not going to make money if they're going to pay guys like Stanton these massive contracts.
Sure.
And they're not going to win. People are not, like I said, people are not going to come out in South Florida unless they win. So they're doing the right thing. They want to make money because they want to strip everything down and get their own guys that they feel, you know, can produce over the long haul, although they're doing it very much from the ground up right now, and do things in their own vision. You know, it's not – I think they want to put a winning product on the field. The Marlins didn't have a winning product, and they weren't making money, so I understand in a way why they're tearing it up. Now, the Marlins fan base is reacting like it does because with Wayne Huizenga and Loria, they would make their money and then tear it down. You know, 2007 was infamous for that. And they're being reactionary because they're saying, oh, we need one more player and maybe we can contend. Jeter's response to that was like, look, you don't throw more money at something and you fix it. I think they have a unique view here. They're taking a long-term look. Yes, they want to make money, but they do want to put a winning product on the field. They did not have a winning product.
No, they didn't. But like I said, I think what bothers the fans more than anything isn't even the fact that they're tearing it up. It's just the prospects they're getting back aren't exactly the highest of touted guys. Maybe Lewis Brinson's a bit of a difference, but what they received for Stanton and Ozuna wasn't enough in their eyes. I think that's what bothers them more than anything.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, that's a fair point.
Okay, fair enough. One last question on Brinson, and I'll move on to Ohtani. Lewis Brinson in Miami, he's going to play every day. He's still very young, coming into his own. I think he takes his lump, Scott, but I think he's going to run wild for Don Mattingly, kind of like D. Gordon did.
Yeah, I can see them letting him loose, but, you know, the skill set is more than that. And,
yep.
You know, with Brinson getting that opportunity, he's going to be very, very enticing fantasy-wise. You know, what's going to be his command of the strike zone, though? You know, what's going to be – I'm sorry, that sounds like I'm talking about a pitcher. You know, what's his plate discipline going to be like this year? It wasn't very good last year. If he can improve on that, you know, look, this guy might end up being, you know, striking out a lot and having a low batting average, but help you in pop and speed. You take the hit initially, and you hope by the second half of the season that he's getting better in batting average. You know, I wouldn't project more than like a 250 average for this guy.
Okay, fair enough, Scott. So I think that's fair. Over on RotoExperts.com, Tim McCullough, the latest to write about Shohei Ohtani, the starting pitcher / DH for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. As we've kind of tried to figure out where his value lies, it depends mostly on the format. We talked about it on the Roto Experts previously, but it's true. It really does depend on the format that you are playing in. Is it a weekly league? Is it a daily change league? Is there one Shohei Ohtani? Is there two Shohei Ohtanis? These are what you're going to have to figure out. Scotty, let me talk from the pitcher side of things. If there's two players, one of them is a pitcher, how do you value the pitcher, Shohei Ohtani?
Well, as in Mike Florio's article, Tim McCullough is not a BFF.
Oh, that's true. He's not. Florio was telling me for weeks he was going to write about this. I didn't actually think he would go through with it.
Yeah, this is Florio's article.
Good for
not
him.
Tim's.
Good for him.
So, you know, as far as a pitcher value, you know, he has top 20 potential. It's always dangerous about how this translates. You know, this guy, you know, the strikeout potential is very, very good. He has good control for everything that we know. Could probably keep the ERA down under, I'd say, about 370. But you're talking the American League. You know, Mike puts in the steamer projections, which have him at 349. I think that's kind of a lot to expect in the American League right away. But I could certainly see him as top 20, top 25. The thing that, you know, that kind of like strikes me about Ohtani is, you know, if in the sites where he's eligible as both, it's like, how do you even figure out how to put him in your lineup? You know, like, do you use two lineup spots for him? That, you know, that gives you a unique and almost unfair advantage.
Oh, I totally disagree. I think it's very easy to decide how you put him in your lineup. You don't start him as a hitter. You start him as a pitcher because he's much more valuable as a pitcher than he is as a hitter.
Well, I'm saying, wouldn't you accumulate stats for both?
Well, you're not going to be able to. In leagues where you have one Shohei Ohtani, you can either start him as a pitcher or start him as a hitter. You can't start him as both.
Right.
So, to me, the value is always going to be stronger with him as a pitcher, I think.
Right. Yeah, it would always be stronger as a pitcher. It's like, as Mike points out in his new article on rotoexperts.com, you can check it out right now. Also has an embed of you guys talking about it on YouTube from a few days ago. If he only plays like three times a week as compared to other guys that play regularly, you know, where are you going to fit him in? You know, to me as a hitter, he's more of a monoleague guy.
I think that's completely fair, Scotty. I agree with you. What do you got going on this weekend, Scott?
What do I have going on this weekend? You know, I haven't even thought about it yet. I got a full day of working on Roto Experts and Sports Grid ahead of me.
All right. It's Friday, baby. It's Friday. All right, we take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up the Hour of Baseball with Matt and Corey. Coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Corey Parson, Grant Sussman. A little laughter this morning for me.
Yes, you were enjoying that break.
I was. It was a good break. Yes, Corey?
Oh, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
I thought about something right. I know which wide receiver is going to be in Dallas.
Okay.
I forgot to tell y'all the other day when we did the Dez Bryant segment. Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's right, for
sure. He'll be there.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he's going to get cut, and then Dallas will sign him.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yep. Good. He's from Dallas.
And I know.
Yeah.
That's a good conversation.
Hopefully he can avoid a key to leave. Yeah. No change. Can't get a chain snatch if you're a Cowboy, though. We don't play that. We don't play that. You got to lose that spirit, that weak spirit got to leave.
Do you play Denver next year?
I don't know. I don't think so. Houston, Jacksonville.
Indy,
yeah. For the AFC.
Tennessee.
Yeah. What's that division called?
It's called the AFC South.
Yeah, it's the AFC South. Football's leaving my mind, so I didn't realize
what division was. You seem very quiet this morning.
I'm trying to get my mojo up.
Yeah.
What are we about to talk about, though?
Next hour. We're gonna finish the baseball here.
Let's do it.
We'll do the baseball, and then we'll get into some All-Star stuff next hour. We have a lot of games today. So I've been saving these games up for Friday. I keep saying that. We're going to do it every day.
Friday.
But on the show today, we play as Mike Lyon as we always do. I'm the returning champion. I assume my Fleur is not showing up, but I have many questions.
Why is he not going to show up?
You know what? I don't know.
I think it's time to change it to is Frank Stanfilani.
I have many questions. We got that. Today we'll see the return of Name That Player today on the program.
Oh, that's fun.
So we have that going on. Baseball edition of that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We also have some NBA Who Said It.
That's cool.
We've been advertising that all week. A lot of games to come. The 9 o'clock hour should be very, very fun on the program today. Matt, before we wrap up, though, the baseball talk, I did want to throw this out at you as well. Yoan Moncada and Tim Anderson, I was talking about like Michael Kopech yesterday on the BFFs, and looking at some of the top prospects for the White Sox, and you know, everyone says the White Sox can be good and whatnot, but Moncada and Tim Anderson, two of the top talked about guys last year, I'd say, at this time. Both young, both play middle infield positions. Both have the ability to kind of step up and be really, really good. Yet in 2018, I don't feel like anybody's talking about those two guys anymore. Where should they be targeted? What's their fantasy value? And do you like either of them?
Well, look, Moncada has a very high ceiling still. He'll be 23, I think, in like May or June, something like that's his birthday. I forget the exact date. But this is a guy you're looking at that's possible 2020 in the middle infield. The concern here with him is the batting average. The playing time is going to be there. You know, this is a team. It's kind of the thing with Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson will do anything possible not to draw a walk, but who are they going to put in? Tim Anderson is going to get the opportunity to play every single day. I mean, and it's another guy, like we're going to say, 15 home runs possibility, 10 to 15 there. And he does have the speed to steal 30 bases. Does that happen this year? Does he get on base enough? That's really the key questions. So, I mean, as the White Sox are going to be a bad, bad baseball team in MLB. But for fantasy, they do have players like Moncada and Anderson that are going to offer you, you know, give you some power, give you some speed. It's the batting average that's going to be the risk here. And I do think people are still high on Moncada. I think he's kind of that guy that is going around that, say, round 10-ish in that area.
Round 11 in the FSTA.
Okay. So, yeah. He's, you know, current. Actually, it's a little higher than that. He's ADP is 131. And people are excited for this kid. We've heard about him. I mean, the Red Sox gave up a big haul for him. So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you do want to have a little batting average insurance. I think that's the only part of his game that hasn't come yet.
Tim Anderson in the FSTA went in the 16th round. But, again, you're looking at a guy that is definitely 15-15, has a potential to steal 30 bases, and you're finding that in the middle teens. That's pretty fair value, too.
Yeah, there's like three shortstops right there that you're going to, you know, have to choose from.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to come back. A lot to talk about here in hour number two, the NBA draft, and of course, XFL!